A reading from the prophet Jeremiah, the second chapter, beginning with the fourth verse, the word of God for the people of God. Hear now the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel, this is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and rifts, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and its rich produce. But you came and you defiled my land and you made my inheritance detestable. The priest did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and followed worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you, declares the Lord. And I will bring charges against your children's children. So cross over to the coast of Kittim and look and send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glory for worthless idols. So be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great honor, declares the Lord, for my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Pastor Sam Rima, in his wonderful book, Leading from the Inside Out, tells the story of the construction of a marvelous firehouse in upstate Pennsylvania that soon became the talk of the region. What made this firehouse so special is that it was built with the most modern materials and the most advanced technology, and it was so shiny and so special that the firehouse attracted people from far and wide. But almost as soon as it was finished, not months after, there began to show cracks in the ceiling. And the floors began to buckle, and the roof began to sag, and it became the case that the doors and the windows wouldn't open, which, in a grand irony, made the firehouse nothing more than a death trap. And you can imagine what happened next with cracks and buckles and doors and windows not opening and roofs sagging. It wasn't long before the whole building just came crumbling in, at which point the authorities decided to launch an investigation into the causes for this surprising turn of events. And what they discovered is that there were small fissures in the foundation of the firehouse. Fissures that did not show up in the initial inspection. And because these fissures were left without resolution, it was only a matter of time before the entire edifice just imploded into a rubble, a big mound of ash. We come this morning on this second Sunday of the new year, anticipating what lies before us and yet not entirely certain about what we might expect in the days and the weeks and the months that are ahead. And what troubles us is that in our own experience, we know that there are cracks and there are some things that are buckling and some things that are not opening as they should. There are some things in our souls that are warped. And even though we are doing our best to resolve all of these matters that we know are not as they should be, it just seems to us as if we are incapable of bringing resolution to all of these complications that cause us to approach our future with some measure of anxiety and dread. This morning, instead of continuing down that path of trying to handle these matters by ourselves and in our own power, what difference might it make if we trusted the cracks and the fissures and the warping and the buckling? What difference might it make if we trusted all of these things to God? And that is the question posed by the prophet Jeremiah in this passage of Scripture that is before us today. Jeremiah, as you know, is known by students of the Old Testament as the weeping prophet. He looked at the situation that existed in his day in Jerusalem among his own people, God's people, and he was broken in his spirit by all that he saw that was not right between God and the people. And God raised Jeremiah up to proclaim God's word to them in a way that might bring them restoration and renewal and the hope of a wonderful future, a future that God wanted them to experience. At this stage in Jeremiah's ministry, on the surface, things looked grand. This section of Jeremiah's prophecy happened during the reign of King Josiah. And when you read the historical books of the Old Testament, you come to see that Josiah was a wonderful king. He had discovered during his reign the scrolls during a renovation of the Jerusalem temple, and it led Josiah to implement a series of reforms in Jerusalem that caused the people to believe that their best years were ahead. It was during this precise time that Jeremiah saw something that few others saw. Jeremiah saw something that God saw. Jeremiah saw cracks and fissures and buckling and warping, so that as the mouthpiece of God, Jeremiah called the people to task. He called the people to repentance. In the passage of Scripture that I've read for you this morning, Jeremiah says, from God's perspective, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me. They have forgotten me. And they have attempted to handle matters in their own power instead of trusting them to me. And he phrases it this way. They have forsaken me, who is the spring of living water, and instead dug their own cisterns that hold stale waters, and even the cisterns that they have dug are broken cisterns. They are cisterns that cannot hold any water. As you think about your life and your faith, can you say honestly that my faith, my life, I have placed my trust in God to the degree that I am able to be a storehouse, a reservoir of the living water that God seeks to pour into my life in response to my faith in Him? Or is it the case that those cracks and those fissures and that warping and that buckling have brought you to a place where the reason that you are so anxious about tomorrow, where 2020, it's hard for me even to pronounce the year, where 2020 is for you an uncertain phenomenon. You cannot wrap your heart around what is to take place because you know that the things that are not right in your life are things where you have not invited God to take control of them. I pose that question this morning not to discourage you and not to frighten you, because when we look at Scripture, we see that God never raises up prophets purely for the sake of frightening or discouraging His people. God did not raise up Jeremiah in order to discourage the people of Jerusalem. God raised up Jeremiah to call the people to a greater level of faith. God raised up Jeremiah to remind the people that there was room for improvement in terms of their relationship with God. God raised up Jeremiah to give the people a hope and a promise and a future that they could look forward to, but one that was grounded in their devotion to God, their total, complete, unreserved devotion to God. No matter where we are in our everyday life, no matter how much we may be struggling, how anxious or uncertain we are about the future, no matter how much we have been made aware of the things in our lives that are not right, things that we may resolve to address, if we yield our lives totally and completely to God as God has yielded Himself totally and completely to us, there is always room for hope. What surprises me about this passage of Scripture that is before us this morning is, in spite of the fact that God, through Jeremiah, charges the people with all manner of transgressions, they have forsaken me, they have forgotten me, they no longer call upon me, they have dug for themselves their own cisterns that cannot hold water, God does not give up on His people. Even as He is invoking the heavens to be witnesses to the sins and the transgressions that the people have committed, God still refers to them as my people. My people. If you're here this morning and you're concerned about your future, if you know that there are things in your life that are not as they should be, if you've tried to address them and have come up empty, you've not been able to hold on to anything, what difference might it make If you were to trust your life and those parts of your life to God, that you were to invite God to be present in those very places, if you committed yourself to God's steadfast love in Jesus Christ, how might it enable you to approach your future with a greater degree of confidence and assurance because you were not relying upon yourself in spite of how precarious your situation and circumstances might actually be. You were trusting those very things to God. Sidney Lanier is a name that is familiar to Alabamians. He was a poet in the 19th century and educator. He was born in Georgia, Macon, Georgia. Was a soldier in the Civil War, and after the war, moved from Georgia to Montgomery, Alabama, where he became a school principal, hence the high school in Montgomery, Sidney Lanier High School. Why was Sidney Lanier High School named after someone born in Georgia, moved to Montgomery? Became an educator. He was also the organist at the First Presbyterian Church of Prattville, Alabama. And so was a person of deep faith. And when you look at Sidney Lanier's poems, you see his faith welling up in virtually every line. Of all the poems that Lanier penned, perhaps his most famous poem is the one titled "The Marshes of Glynn." Poems that Lanier wrote while recuperating from his struggle with tuberculosis, a common malady in the 19th century. Recuperating on the Atlantic coast of Georgia in Glynn County around Jekyll Island and St. Simons. They have those wonderful live oaks that dot the coastline in that part of the world. And as Lanier sat under those live oaks in Glynn County, he wrote what has been considered his greatest poem. It was a poem that he intended to encourage other Southerners who were facing uncertain times after the war, not certain what the future would hold. Everything had been uprooted in the South, and no one knew what tomorrow would bring. Many people like Lanier had come back from battle, wounded and maimed in body and in spirit. And a number were struggling with infirmities, even as was Lanier. And so he decided to write that wonderful poem as a way of encouraging readers to trust their circumstances and their situations to God. Here are two stanzas in the poem that have always spoken to me. As he looked out under the Atlantic Ocean, "Oh, what is abroad in the marsh and the terminal sea? Somehow my soul seems suddenly free from the weighing of fate and the sad discussion of sin by the length and the breadth and the sweep of the marshes of Glen. So as the marsh hen secretly builds its nest on the watery sod, which on the surface seems flimsy and insubstantial, behold, I will build me a nest on the greatness of God. As the marsh hen secretly builds its nest on what seems to be flimsy and insubstantial, the watery sod, behold, Lanier reminds us of the importance of building our lives on the greatness of God. So if you've come here this morning uncertain about the future because of all of those cracks and fissures, that warping and that buckling, you just don't know how things are going to go, consider what God can do if you build your life and place your hopes upon Him. You will know a mercy that will cover all of those cracks, and a grace, a glorious grace that is ever sufficient for all of your needs. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we pray that you would grant to us the strength that we need to place our trust in you, that you would awaken in us a desire to commit our lives to you and our futures, to find hope even in the face of uncertainty, because we know that you are a great God and that you are ever in control of all things, and that when we trust you and when we obey you, we can have calm assurance that regardless of what comes our way, you will work in it for our good. So make your presence known to us, even in this hour, that we might begin twig by twig, stick by stick, build a nest upon you through Jesus, in whose name we do pray. Amen.